Hey everyone, you're listening to episode 16 of Superhero Speak. Hey buddy.
What?
Do you like video games?
Of course.
So do I. And you know, I listen to this really great podcast about video games. It's called Nerd Unemployed.
Huh, tell me about it.
Well, it's hosted by this guy, Johnny Fournier, who's worked in the video game industry for 10 years.
Wow.
Yeah, and each week he interviews somebody different from within the video game world.
That sounds interesting.
It is. And I think all of our listeners should take a minute and go out and check it out. You can find them on nerdunemployed.com. You can also find them on iTunes and Stitcher, and you can subscribe to them there. So check them out. This week's episode is Ben and I, and we sit down and talk about the new Batman Superman movie and our ideas for the script. Well, here we go. Me.
By the way, I had another idea for a possible podcast spinoff.
Spinoff?
Yes. So, did I tell you about the one I had the other day? The BSing headlines?
Yes, Fox News.
Yes. Well, I had another one. So I was listening to, what do you call it? Nerdist on the way home today. And it was the episode where they're recording in Quebec, in Montreal.
Oh, yeah.
And they were talking about the new Talking Bad show that they're going to be doing.
Right.
And it got me thinking that could be an interesting thing in and of itself to do, like, there's shows that we follow or should follow that we could actually, like, do some sort of companion pieces to. So
Talking Arrow?
Well, it could, I don't think we can follow their theme exactly. I don't think we can do talking this and talking that. I think we come up with our own, so, like, it could be Arrow speak. another one I also thought we should be really following, like, Orphan Black is another good one that we should all be watching. So we could do Orphan speak.
Are you gonna
just sounds wrong, but,
Orphan speak.
And definitely when S.H.I.E.L.D. comes out, we should be talking about that show.
Well, see, that there, that would work.
Yes.
Yeah.
S.H.I.E.L.D. speak.
So.
Or agents of speak.
Agents of speak. That would be interesting. Yeah, I like that. That works for me. Or agent speak, at least.
All right. Well, then it's official. Agents of speak.
So we have some potential there.
All right. You want to start this thing?
I do not have any sort of anecdotes that I can share today. So, unless you have one that you'd like to start us off with, I'm dry.
No, but we can do an official start as you always like.
Sure.
Nice. So everyone, welcome to Superhero Speak. I'm your host Dave.
And this is Ben.
And John is not with us again this week. Apparently, he got kidnapped by Taylor Swift. Last we heard, he was tied up in the back of her tour bus. And our hopes and prayers go out that he will return to us soon.
I think she's dragging him to BronyCon.
I believe so, yes. Something about Rainbow Dash and dashing his dreams. I don't know.
Anyway, hopefully he'll be back and available soon. We did attempt to find some alternate co-hosts, but didn't work out so well.
No one likes us.
Well, they are smart. No.
So anyway. Oh, I have to bring up my list of topics.
Yeah, so I'm looking at that list right now. So we typically sort of jump in with the, like, TV and movie news.
Right.
So there's a couple items to talk about there. So I was looking into the whole, you mentioned this earlier, the Flash TV series.
Yes.
And it's interesting because what I'm seeing with that, first of all, the second season of Arrow, they're planning, it seems like they have a pretty ambitious plan to how they're going to keep developing that. Because, I don't know, and you've been watching the show Arrow.
Yes.
It's a very interesting show, but he's really not the Green Arrow. You know, he's
right.
sort of a vigilante at this point. But I think what we're seeing there is there's a development that they have planned, that they actually are thinking about, where by the end of a couple seasons he will be the Green Arrow.
Right, the Green Arrow we know.
Right. So there is talk that they may introduce Barry Allen through that show, and then potentially even go so far as to spin off a Flash TV series itself from that.
Which is interesting because when the show Arrow started, they made it their mantra, no powers. Yes. But now if they're going to bring in Barry Allen as the Flash, there's a power they have to bring in.
Yeah, that will be interesting. And there's already sort of a difficult area there as it is, because one of the regulars in the Arrow show is Laurel Lance, who there's the impetus there that she would someday become Black Canary, but Black Canary has some sort of ability. So
right.
I'd be interested in how they plan to address that. I mean, I guess it's fully feasible that she could, there could be some sort of weapon that she could use to suit that need. And maybe with the Flash, they will do that spin, but he will not actually be a powered character in the context of the Arrow. It won't be until he spins off that they would develop that mechanism by which he has powers.
Yeah, that would work. I kind of feel we talked about it earlier when we talked about it. Oh my God, the stupid things you say. Using the TV shows is also another way to possibly fast track the characters for the movies.
Yes, and I'm not. It's a decent idea. I think it's feasible to basically build this mythology and build the canon through a TV series that can later roll into continuity for, say, a Justice League movie if they do it well. And as we discussed earlier, I'm not going to convey it as sardonically as I did earlier, but just that there was definitely the intent there that Smallville would be one of those types of shows, that they had sort of a 5-year plan, and it was supposed to roll into a Superman movie series with Tom Welling, and clearly that didn't go that way,
right.
For a variety of reasons. But it was feasible. But it really depends on how they handle it, if they handle it well. And I think that actually was sort of a antithesis to the Arrow series. The Arrow series where they have no powers. In Smallville, there were too many powers. Like, everybody had powers,
yeah.
And most of them were derived from Kryptonite. So I think they sort of... I'm kind of glad they didn't spin that world into their DC, you know, universe continuity. But I enjoyed it while it lasted.
Yeah, it would have probably been a little too much to try to take that into movies and make it work well and coherently. But again, the Arrow series follows a very grounded line like the Batman movies did. And, you know, I think you could take that Green Arrow and put him in a Justice League movie and make it work.
I think you could. I think he needs time. I think it needs at least another season or two before he's really at that level. But that's going to be at least that much time before they have, you know, they won't even have the next Superman movie out until then anyway.
Right.
So they have time to build that.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say they need to build more than just that. I mean, he's sort of a tertiary member of the league. I would say the more important ones are characters like the Flash and Wonder Woman and Batman that they need to integrate somehow.
Yeah, I kind of think, in my opinion, it would be those four plus Green Lantern would be the five.
Right, the bare minimum Justice League.
Right, because the idea with the Justice League is that they're taking care of a threat that's threatening the entire Earth that needs a team to take care of it. And Green Lantern fits that more than Green Arrow. you know, a threat like Zod trying to terraform the whole planet.
Right.
Oh, wait.
Although, you know, who was helpful in dealing with a threat that terrorized the entire Earth was Hawkeye in the Avengers movie. So I think Green Arrow could potentially have a place and a role.
Right. So. But, of course, there's always the issues, too, where it's like, and we know that it's not, they're not copying in any form, because Green Arrow, I know, is much older than Hawkeye, but there's always that fear of, oh, well, they're copying what they did over in Avengers. And it's like, well, no.
Right. People who might not know as well might definitely, you know, the layman fans, or as we called them last week, the norms. may definitely take that, approach to it. But, you know, it we know better, at least, and hopefully they know better not to, the writers, that is, to not spin it that way, to look too close, too much of a carbon copy.
Right. So, continuing with the DC Universe movies and so on and so forth, it appears that they're really fast-tracking this Batman-Superman movie.
Yeah, I'm getting that impression.
I mean, they're already screen testing Batman for the movie, which...
Yeah, and that between the rumors that have been going around and the supposed supposed casting stuff going on, there's some interesting picks there.
So. Right. Yes, one of the rumors, I don't know how true this is or not, I mean, but a lot of sites have reported this, that... what's his name? Tyler Hoechlin. Hoechlin. Thank you. Has screen tested with Cavill already.
Yeah. And you know what? And I was looking at the article where you sent with that, and I could see him in the role. I could picture him as Bruce Wayne and Batman. Although it's funny because if you look at the sort of the red carpet pretty boy picture of him, and look immediately at the Henry Cavill picture, they're very similar.
Yeah, you
know, the same sort of young, chiseled, you know, pretty boys.
Yes. So I guess the boat has sailed for Army Hammer at this point. he was going to be our Batman in the originally, but got beat out by a Brit.
Yeah.
Who talks like this as Batman? And then, of course, the other news about Batman Superman was that Van City Buzz is reporting that they're scouting locations in Canada already for filming. So they're looking for locations. They're screen testing Batman, but there's still no word on a script.
Yeah, that seems a little bit cart before horse there. I mean, obviously, like we discussed earlier, they have some idea of what they're going to be filming to a degree. They know they need a Gotham. They know they need Metropolis and, you know, basic things that they are going to have to be able to portray. So scouting for locations isn't that far-fetched. And again, they know they need a Batman, so it makes sense to screen test some people for it. But at the same time, it would help if they had a decent... script that
yes.
they had a story that they know is going to be the baseline for this, so they know additionally what characters are going to need to portray, and really more concisely what types of locations are going to need to shoot in.
Right. So, you know, while we're on this topic, we were talking about this the other day. I think we should continue the conversation. I heard on another podcast where they were asking, well, what elements, you know, what if you were going to write the story right now, what would you want in it? What would be your perfect script? And I started thinking about it. I'm actually writing an article on it that I'll be posting probably to Movie Pilot by the end of the week.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I thought about it, and the more I thought about it, it's like, if it's done right, it could work. And you can definitely build off a lot of things that happened in Man of Steel to make a Batman Superman movie work.
Agreed. And I've been sort of thinking about that as well. And we chatted about that a bit the other day. And I can share sort of, if you want, I don't know I forget if I took any of these ideas from you, but...
Well, you go ahead and I'll tell you if you stole it or not.
Okay. So my thinking is this. There's already an inclination that they want to introduce Lex Luthor as at least a character in the next movie, if not an adversary. So a potential way that I could see that going is Lex Luthor being the powerful, you know, magnet of technology and other things that he is, could be, you know, central to some ongoings. And one of the things I think that they could go with, what directions they could go with this is this. They haven't really introduced the concept of kryptonite thus far, you know, in that one movie. But I think one potential source for it is what's left over from the terraforming attempt that they did on Earth, that some of the matter that got condensed could have, you know, it in itself suffice as kryptonite, be something that has an effect on Superman.
Right.
So I think maybe we see Lex using his power and his resources to try to collect some of this, you know, maybe he's been thwarted once or twice in his secretive dealings by Superman without Superman really realizing and connecting the dots. And so as a result, Lex is trying to find a weakness or a chink in his armor, and tries to start harvesting the stuff up. And somehow there's, you know, related to these dealings, Superman ends up following some leads that take him to Gotham, and that's where he runs in with Batman. And I think it really comes down to, it starts off as sort of the, you know, adversarial, you know, they're not, you know, measuring each other up, trying to figure out how to react to each other. And then it becomes a little bit of a buddy cuff thing from there as they connect the dots. And you know, because Superman's not the detective. Batman's right. The detective, and he's the one who's going to trace down the leads and figure out what's going on and trace it back to Lex and, you know, basically showing Superman where to punch.
Well, I kind of, I had similar ideas along those lines. But I kind of think there's a few elements, I would do differently. I think you build off of the, one of the big criticisms from Man of Steel was the destruction.
Yeah.
I actually read an article estimated at $700 billion worth of destruction.
Yeah.
That would have been in real life. So you build off of that, and, you know, building off real world concepts, you could have mm-hmm. the city of Metropolis asking for donations to help rebuild the city.
Right.
And so you have Lex Luthor and Wayne Industries, Bruce Wayne, teaming up and donating money and resources right. into building Metropolis.
Right. And possibly also vying against each other for bids on construction sites and things like that.
Right. But within that, you have, and you can do a lot of play between Lex Luthor and Bruce Wayne with this as well, where Lex Luthor comes out and he's showing his public face as, oh, right. I'm here to save the city, help out, and behind the scenes he's, you know, this alien, we've got to get rid of him, you know. He caused all this destruction. If it wasn't for him, this wouldn't have happened. And that's all personality traits taken right out of the comics.
Yeah. You could also see, and not to throw it off too much, but you could also see some of that actually being part of the public outcry, saying, look, this alien caused all this destruction. I'm estimating, you know, out of generosity, I'm donating time and money to build the city back up. But he should be held accountable for some of this.
Right. And that's the whole thing. Like, yeah, you can make it his public face as well, because he can also use that as his political platform to try to run for office.
Exactly.
Because he's, you know, a billionaire who's trying to grab more power. That's, you know, his personality, at least in the modern comics. And
right.
then you can have him saying to Bruce Wayne, like, oh, you should team up with me. We could, you know, really take over, blah, blah, blah. We could stop them. And Bruce Wayne's more like, yeah, no, I'm just, you know, I just donate my money to humanitarian causes. And his motivation behind being there is, okay, there's something else going on here. There's a threat. Like, I don't know who Superman is, right? He doesn't know who he is yet. So, being the protector and the, you know, that he wants to be the person of justice,
mm-hmm.
he could go to Metropolis trying to investigate who is Superman and does he need to pay for in what could be perceived in Bruce Wayne's mind as crimes against the city of Metropolis.
Yeah.
And then, like, that's to me how you get Bruce Wayne into it. And then, you know, you can have a scene in Gotham. You know, I thought about this too. Like, maybe actually if you backed up, you could do a scene in Gotham where there's some kind of standoff at a bank, you know, and you see the cops outside and the gangsters and they're shooting at each other and pick any one of Batman's main villains as the guy in the bank. And you can see Batman in the shadows in the bank sneaking up to the guy. And then Superman crashes through the wall, you know, knocks out all the bad guys, grabs the main villain and, is about to, you know, take him to justice or whatever. And then Batman pops up, you know, and says something like, "Oh, you're going to break his neck?" Sorry, spoilers. You know, or something along the lines. And
sure.
You can have that as like Superman's like, "Who's this nut in this costume?" And
right.
You know, obviously everyone knows who Superman is at this point because of what happened.
Right.
And you know, obviously Superman doesn't trust Batman at that point. Batman doesn't trust Superman.
Yeah.
Then have
I think there's a number of opportunities for having these foreshadowing meetups between them.
Right.
Like, for instance, if Bruce Wayne is spending time in Metropolis and talking up efforts that he's doing, you know, there could be a scene where Clark is, you know, asking him for comments on something or whatever, and Bruce brushes him off, you know, as
right.
just another reporter in the crowd.
But but then. Yeah, I mean, you definitely have a lot of opportunities in the story for that. The other thing you can do is that... Oh, okay, sorry. I got an email. I thought maybe it was our absentee co-host, but it's not.
Yeah.
You can also then have... Because they did this a lot in Smallville, and I think you can do a little bit of this without overdoing it and get away with it with the kryptonite. Like, you can have... Lex discover the kryptonite,
mm-hmm.
have no idea what it is, but realize that it's got power to it, or there's something different about this.
Right, right.
And he then is using the rebuilding of the city to go around and collect as much of this rock as he can.
Yeah.
So he can experiment with it and figure out, can I make money off of this? Can I get power from this?
Right.
And,
actually, I can actually see a scene where that could become, where they could have the reveal for that. And that would, it would be this. You know, Lex visiting a you know, sort of a recovery site that's still being, you know, demolition finished up that, you know, to sort of sign off on some blueprints and contracts or whatever. And Superman's in there sort of pitching in to help, you know, clean up rubble.
Right.
And gets affected by something. And, you know, like, you know, his, like he's trying to pick something up heavy, exposes himself to some of this dense rock and falters and Lex catches that.
Right, exactly. So he you know, he gathers up the rock based on that. But you know, Superman doesn't know what it was at that point. And you can have, you know, through Lex and Bruce's dealings, Bruce realizes there's something going on with this kryptonite.
Mm-hmm.
He realizes that the properties of the rock affects Superman somehow.
Right.
You know, and then you can have that fight between maybe Lex and Superman where he uses the kryptonite and then Batman figures out, you know, how to help Superman out in the fight.
Yeah.
You know, but see, I think you also have to turn it around too, where you also need another villain in the movie. You need a powerful villain that...
Perhaps.
That, and I was thinking, because I'm trying to think along those lines, like, another powerful villain where it justifies a team-up. Because, you know, you can do this, that the story that way, and it would work. but it would feel, I think it would feel a little empty at the end. I think you need a powerful enemy for Batman that he can't handle on his own, that Superman has to help him out with.
Yeah.
You know, like Solomon Grundy or someone along those lines, I think works.
Yeah. I think it'd be difficult to introduce, though, in this soon. I think you'd have to go with someone a little more grounded, but still potentially an adversary for Batman that could be difficult.
Right.
So that could be tricky. I don't know. I'd have to think about who would fit that.
Yes. But yeah, I mean, so that way you can have, they help each other out at different points in the movie, and that...
Excuse me.
Water, sir. Water helps that. And that could begin their, you know, like, maybe at the end of the movie they're not really friends, but there's a mutual respect between the two of them at the end. Because, let's face it, traditionally, other than in, like, portrayed in The World's Finest and the earliest comics in the 40s, later on, and they've kept this a long time, is that Batman and Superman work together and they get along fine, but they really don't like each other. You know?
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
Batman will work outside of the law. Superman's all about truth and justice.
Yeah.
And Batman doesn't trust Superman. He keeps a bunch of kryptonite in the Batcave, which is something else I think they could play into this movie. At the end, you can show a vault, a lead-lined vault filled with kryptonite, and have Alfred come up and say something like, Master Wayne, should we, you know, eliminate the kryptonite now that the threat's gone? And he can go, no, the threat really isn't gone. And then he closes up the vault.
Yeah, it could be. I do also think that regardless of what the story ends up being, I think that they need to, show off their abilities to an extent that they recognize each other. Like, I think, you know, first of all, we all know that Clark's disguise is see-through. And
is it?
And anonymity is really the only disguise he has.
Right.
So I think that if Bruce lays eyes on Clark even once, he's going to put two and two together. So could call him out on it. And obviously Superman can just look through his mask
right. And
see who he is. So I think that's a scene that I don't think they're leaving out.
Right. Yes, and again, I think, you know, I think for a Justice League movie to work, and we kind of talked about this a little bit in the Man of Steel review, is each person has to bring something to the table, and you have to separate their powers. So
yeah.
I kind of felt like that's why they didn't show a lot of speed stuff with Superman, because they want to bring the Flash in and have him be the speedster.
Agreed. And I think that they actually, there probably was some cognizance of that in how his speed was depicted, because he was shown moving quickly and flying quickly, but never really in a orderly fashion per se.
Right.
You know, it wasn't like he sped through a building or through a complicated, set of obstacles or anything like that. You know, he sort of just blasted from here to there. Whereas Flash would have that level of nuance. You know, he can think faster than the average person as well. So that's part of the Speed Force. So I think that's one way they can differentiate them. That the Flash, even though Superman can be fast, Flash can be fast and accurate.
Right, and then you have Batman, who is your detective,
Right.
For lack of a better term, your brains. Yes.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Superman's your powerhouse.
Right.
You know.
And so is Wonder Woman, technically.
Yeah, I mean, there are other aspects of her. She's I look at Superman as the powerhouse and Wonder Woman as, like, the hunter. You know, she can seek out, she can see, like, okay, if we get rid of the leader of this group of enemies, they'll all falter. You know,
right.
those kinds of things. The strategist, you know, because she is a warrior. So that's her role,
right.
You know. And then Green Lantern, well, he can make stuff just as long as it's not yellow.
Yeah. And, you know, Green Arrow is their ranged attack. So I guess, so Superman would be the tank?
Yes.
If you're using gaming analogies.
There you go, he's the tank.
So he's the tank. Green Arrow is the ranger.
They need a healer, though.
They need a healer. They do.
I'll volunteer. I'll have a box of Band-Aids and some rubbing alcohol.
Maybe Martian Manhunter can fill that role.
Oh, that's true.
They introduce him.
Yeah. I think, you know, you can't have everyone in the first movie.
No.
That's another thing.
It's too much to introduce all at once. I mean, that's why Avengers didn't do that. They took the ones that you couldn't just sort of throw into the mix, and they had, you know, introduction movies for them.
Right. You know, and then now we'll get Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch.
Right. But they've already set the... I think they've already set the speed, though. I think they can pull them in, and it's less of a, you know, throwing, you know, things in abruptly.
Right, right. And speaking of Marvel movies, thank you for the segue.
I think you made that segue.
Oh, did I? All right.
But continue.
As we all know, the Wolverine is out.
Yes, and we've all seen it.
No, we haven't seen it yet. Actually, right before I went on, we got on and started talking. I saw an article that, and I'm sorry, they're like, you know, spoilers, blah blah blah. But there's a bumper at the end of Wolverine. Okay.
Yeah.
And it teases another X-Men related movie. What do you think it teases?
Days of Future Past, maybe?
Oh, spoiler. I mean, come on. It's like, I could understand if they weren't talking about doing the movie, like that was a spoiler, but
right.
Unless you've been living under a rock, you know Days of Future Past is coming.
Yeah. But, you know, I don't see that as a bad thing necessarily to tease that. That could be... I don't know what it is. I haven't seen it, but I think it's appropriate.
Right. No. I was mocking the article. Like, oh, this is a spoiler. If you don't want any spoilers.
Oh, yeah. There's no shock value there whatsoever. Yeah. People are expecting that. But people will probably want to see that little snippet so they can know what to be gurgling about.
Yes. So, so unfortunately, we haven't seen it yet. Hopefully, we will be going soon.
Hopefully by the time that this actually airs, we will have seen it.
Yes. And we can drag someone else with us and have a third co-host again. Whoever we have to smack over the head with a coconut.
Yeah.
So there was that piece about the Wolverine. And there was another very interesting piece about the Wolverine, I thought. What's the term he uses for himself again?
Cuba?
No.
No.
General Isamo.
General Isamo, yeah.
Yes. Stan Lee, for those who don't know the term General Isamo, did not make a cameo appearance in this movie. Due to scheduling conflicts, the movie was filmed in Australia, and he couldn't find the time to head out to Australia.
He was too busy doing voice work for Ultimate Spider-Man.
Yes. And with that... he said that the movie would probably be a dud because, you know, his star power wasn't there to bring the crowds in.
To be fair, he joked that, but...
To be fair, he joked that, yes. Of course, Stan Lee would never wish ill of his own creations.
But definitely people are giving, because it hasn't done well opening weekend, so people are, you know, seeing that as some sort of omen. Or prediction against it, apparently.
Yes, it only opened to... Well, I mean, this is a lot of money to us.
I wouldn't mind that money.
But I don't believe it's made back its what it cost yet. It opened to $53 million in the U.S. So, hopefully, you know, we better go see it because it might get pulled quickly.
Right. No, I think that... you know, first of all, I think there's still time for it to make some more of that money, and probably because I don't think there's anything significant hitting theaters next weekend that will beat it down a notch. And you know, once they get worldwide gross, it'll probably at least pay for itself.
Yeah.
But But it is a... and it's surprisingly, actually, I kind of expected it to be panned and to be a bit of a dud. I kind of, you know, even though I was hoping it would be better than Wolverine Origins, I expected that it might not be. But from what I've heard, it's actually like a Rotten Tomatoes has it at a, you know, in the mid to high 60% as far as their ratings. So and critics are fairly positive about it. So
yeah, I'm sure one of the issues the Wolverine's having, as we kind of talked about in the last podcast, this is the sixth movie where he's the Wolverine.
It is the sixth.
And so yeah, so it's the sixth Wolverine movie. Because let's be honest, the X-Men movies were very Wolverine centric.
They were? I didn't think so.
This is the sixth Wolverine movie. He's competing with Iron Man 3, Man of Steel.
Yeah.
Despicable Me 2.
And the awesomely enticing RIPD.
Yes, and
which I did see and actually enjoyed, but that was kind of good.
Yeah, and I kind of think that maybe a lot of fans are like, well, let's wait for Days of Future Past. You know, we'll catch this one on video and we'll go see Days of Future Past.
You think they're superhero movied out?
I don't know if they're super movie heroed out, but more so they're superhero movied out of the same character, you know, for the sixth time on the big screen.
Well, there have been gaps. It's not like there's one movie after the other.
That's true.
Within a short period of time. So.
Yeah. All right. We'll have to...
But I think part of the problem, though, is that I think I'm sure I'll probably enjoy The Wolverine when I finally do get out to the theater to see it, and it'll probably have a very interesting story. There's not a lot of name recognition in it, either casting-wise or character-wise. I mean, you have the Wolverine, and if you know who the Viper is, that might have some level of interest. But most of the rest of the characters, unless you are a hardcore comic book fan, most people don't know these characters.
Right.
There's not a lot of recognizable names. And additionally, there's not a lot of recognizable actors involved in the movie. So I can see why there might be some reluctance to the audience of would-be viewers.
Right. I mean, like, one of the big things that comic book fans would know is the Silver Surfer. But I mean, not the Silver Surfer. Silver Samurai.
Silver Samurai.
But that's true diehard Wolverine fans.
Exactly.
Who he is. Right.
Yeah.
I definitely agree with you there. And you're right. I mean, most of the actors, I'm sorry, are, you know, I don't know any of these people.
Right.
I know Hugh Jackman, and that's about it.
Yeah. I think I believe that the Viper was originally supposed to be cast with, is it Jessica Biel?
Okay.
And I actually recently was reminded of that because I saw some concept art that they had for that character with her. Clearly looked more like her in the depiction of it. But, and I think if they had retained that casting, there might have been, I think we would have seen a bigger box office open. But given the casting that they had, I don't think, and again, the characterizations that they had, it's, there's not enough there to draw people out.
Right, right. So we'll see. It's the opening weekend. We'll always can revisit how it's doing later on.
True.
So,
but along the lines of Marvel movie madness, there's also some interesting news related to the next Avengers movie.
Oh well, before we get to that,
okay,
let's stay in the realm of Wolverine and the X-Men.
Okay.
A fan of ours.
A fan.
Yeah, sent us an article or sent us a website.
We have a fan.
Yeah, we have a fan.
Yes, I know. Yeah, so we send us
Trask.industries.com.
Trask-industries.com, yes. Go ahead.
Yeah, you can talk about it.
So, you know, there's anyone who's been following the rumors may know this, but if you don't, they're working on X-Men Days of Future Past, and one of the key roles in that is this character known as Bolivar Trask. And he is he's being played by Peter Dinklage. And he is known as the inventor of the Sentinels. The Sentinels being these androids that are used to detect and police mutants. You know, as sort of a defense technology against mutants. You know, because there's some level of fear that rose up with them in the comic series, and I assume that they're going to play off of in this movie.
Right.
So they've set up sort of a promotional website, Trask-Industries.com, where it actually shows like a picture of Bolivar Trask. It's mocked up to be like a real legitimate website for this company that's doing this research and working on these projects. And it's pretty interesting. Good marketing.
Yeah, I think people should check the website out because there's a media section on there with articles and pictures and whatnot. But the pictures show the Sentinels.
Yeah.
And it's pretty interesting because now it's funny because it kind of they're kind of showing the Sentinels have been around for a while. Even though we didn't see them in the movies, but as like a military type thing, and they look pretty good. I mean, they're different than the comics. Obviously, they're more they took a more realistic look on what they might look like. There's like a picture here, one standing next to the Brooklyn Bridge. There was another one. It's the Ronald Reagan inauguration, and they have one standing over the crowd protecting the new president, as it were. It's pretty cool. We're definitely going to get the Sentinels in this one.
And I think what they're depicting here to a degree is the fact that like they have all this stuff and it's supposedly in the 1970s, you know, where this is all taking place in
right.
the 80s. I think it speaks to the potential alternate timeline that we obviously didn't see in the X-Men movies so far, but the potential of what, you know, if the events that are taking place play out, could be the alternate path that ends up leading the characters from the future to come back to the past and put a stop to things.
Right. Yeah. So I mean, that's, and I guess that's what they're really setting up with this website, like you just said, that showing that these Sentinels were around in the 70s and the 80s, so they're setting off a timeline off of the First Class story line that leads
right.
to that alternate future, which would be our present, which would make sense then to have Patrick Stewart, you know, not saying it's 20 years from the future from now, but it's actually 2013 when this is going on, but it's an alternate timeline from what we saw in the other movies.
Right. So the events that we're familiar with are not the events that those characters experience necessarily.
Right. I kind of think that was, if that's the route they're going, and it definitely appears that way, it's kind of a stroke of genius on their part, you know, because it makes it all work and it makes it all fit together. Hopefully that's what they're doing and not, you know, I don't know.
Some weird different hybrid of things.
Yes. So that was my other piece on Days of Future Past. So you were going to say something about,
I was bridging along in the Marvel
Avengers.
So yes, Avengers. So there's been a casting call. Related to the Avengers Age of Ultron movie.
There has. My agent didn't tell me.
Damn it. Good, he did his job. I didn't want him to tell you. So no, but they're looking for, obviously, for people in the starring and co-starring roles, as well as some supporting roles and doubles and stand-ins and background characters and all these sorts of things. Normal sort of stuff. And they're shooting around in London, England. So they've put out a... you know, this sort of thing in the newspaper calling for people to come and try out for roles. But there's a lot of speculation that they've revealed some plot points in that description.
Right.
Now, I'll argue that they haven't to a great degree. But
you'll argue
anything.
And
you have to take... I will. That's true. So you have to take it with a grain of salt. But I'll just sort of read really quickly what the... You know, a snippet of what it talks about in there. And it says, in the Avengers Age of Ultron, Loki is gone, and the new villain will be the evil robot Ultron, who has the ability to keep upgrading his own strength, making him extremely fearsome. Tony Stark / Iron Man becomes the unwitting creator of Ultron. The brother and sister team of Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch become the 7th and 8th members of the Avengers. Quicksilver has extreme speed, while Scarlet Witch can cast spells and has telekinesis ability. Black Widow and Hawkeye will also be key figures in the film. So, the speculation that's coming from this is that they are confirming that Tony Stark was the creator of Ultron.
Right.
And also you can draw from that some speculation on cementing what the characters of Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch are able to do. I will argue that this was not necessarily probably written by someone that close to the to the people who are actually making the movie, but it was just a press agent who was given the task of throwing something together, and any of this could be speculated based on the comments and rumors that have been going around as it was. For instance, Joss Whedon saying that you don't need Hank Pym to introduce Ultron, and the fact that they've been talking about having Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch introduced. You know, it's all stuff you can extrapolate.
No, I definitely agree with that. It's interesting, too, because whenever you hear about casting calls for different movies and projects like this where there's a lot of buzz around it, a lot of people know what's going on, you'll see them put in newspapers, they'll make up a movie name that's
anagram?
An anagram, right, for the actual name of the movie or something like that.
Right.
They'll put vague references in just to get people to come out to audition. Obviously, they didn't go that road here. They said, but yeah, exactly, like there's way too much information in that casting call for me to believe that it's accurate as well.
Right.
Yeah, it's...
And to the point that you made about the acronym or anagram thing, that actually is very common with Doctor Who, because they keep things very tight-lipped with production with that. And, I mean, that's actually where Torchwood originated, because that was often used as a pseudonym for Doctor Who related things long before they actually officially used it as a name for something.
Right, right. I mean, you know, and you have to think about it like any job. You know, we all work in an office. Most people work in an office. And, you know, there's that guy that's like, here, your job is put an ad out to get people to come in and audition. And it's Avengers 2, just put an ad out. You know, that's probably the instruction the guy was given. So he read some articles and was like, oh, okay. You know,
Well,
he said Hank Pym's not in it, so I guess it has to be Iron Man who makes them.
Right.
You know,
making speculative calls. What's the harm? I mean, he's not really, other than this type of speculation that we're making right now, they're not doing anything negative by saying those things as far as the movie's concerned.
Right, right.
No one's going to be, you know, belligerent or pissed off when they find out that Tony Stark isn't the one that creates Ultron.
Right.
Or if someone else does instead. You know, it's people understand how these things play out.
Yeah, it would be almost like being pissed off because the Mandarin didn't have magical powers, you know? I mean, that would be silly.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Why would anyone feel that way?
Oh, wait.
Now, I would be a little bit off-put if they somehow cast Thor as the one who managed to put together Ultron. That, I think, would be a little bit far-fetched.
Methinketh I needeth a robot.
Right. Or maybe the Hulk. Not Bruce Banner, the Hulk.
Hulk-like robot. Sure. Yeah,
robot,
that
robot would... looked like Ant. Hulk smash.
Yeah, I don't think that would work. You're right. How about Hawkeye?
He doesn't seem the type.
No.
Although he proved himself a little smarter than you'd expect in the last movie. I mean, not hugely, but like even just in the very beginning when he was when they were talking about the Tesseract and the fact that he sort of extrapolated that it was kind of like a door that could be activated from both sides.
Right.
When no one else was thinking about it that way.
Hmm. So, possible genius.
Perhaps. Smarter than the average bear.
Smarter than the average archer.
Yes.
Oh, man. So, yeah, no, I don't. It's, but again, even if they went that road anyway, I don't think people would mind.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't think it's going to be that. You know, I'm still hoping in hoping beyond hope in my back pocket that, you know, this is all misdirection, you know, this is all J.J. Abrams type lies, and that Hank Pym will be in the movie as a scientist, you know, not Giant Man or Ant-Man yet, as a scientist, he's working on something, ends up making Ultron, you know, even if he's just the scientist in the military lab who makes Ultron.
Yeah.
And then that actor, boom, he's our Ant-Man. You know, that would make me happy.
And yeah.
I could have faith in humanity again and sing and frolic in the mists. Oh, wait.
And we want you to be happy, Dave. We really do.
It's about time.
But I have to say it's probably not destined to be.
No! So. Say it isn't so. So
I think now, we've beaten that topic to death.
we could beat it some more, but
we could.
Then we'd be called an abuser, and
perhaps.
You know, one night in jail was enough. Finally, I only had one piece of comic book news that I found this morning. It's a fairly juicy piece of comic book news, but how true this will end up being is another story.
It's yet to be seen, yeah.
So in this article on comicbook.com, they talk about the annual for Superman Annual Number 2, which is... should be out, it'll be out by the time this podcast is posted. And, it starts out the article real short and simple. Superman Action Comics writer Scott Lobdell teams up with former writer artist Dan Jurgens on Superman Annual Number 2, out tomorrow from DC Comics. A preview can be seen below thanks to comic book resources. This story sees Superman face off against Brainiac, drawing through line from Brainiac's first attack on Metropolis in Grant Morrison's Action Comics run to the Lodell-written Cy War story in which Superman finds himself embattled with Hector Hammond and other psychic and psionically powered supervillains. And that's all the article says.
Yeah.
But then you scroll down and then it talks about that's all it really says about that issue, and then it talks about he teamed up for a Booster Gold thing, and then it says all the books he worked on together. But then you scroll down at the preview.
Right. And that the subtitle apparently for the story is The Last Byline.
Yes, The Last Byline. And there's an image of what appears to be a dead, yes, I'm saying this, spoilers, dead Lois Lane.
Yeah, and no, it definitely seems to be what they're depicting there.
Yes, but there's a what's the word I'm looking for? A monologue written over top of it, and it's Lois talking.
Right.
It says, "My name is Lois Lane. I've just been murdered."
And
then it goes, and Superman finds her body, and he's trying to revive her, and so on and so forth. And then it goes to what appears to be a flashback, and Lois is in her office, and I'm sure it's the story of how she was, quote-unquote, murdered.
Right,
so
to that point.
Right. So that's all they gave you in the preview. So I'm going to go out on a limb, folks, and say she probably isn't dead by the end of the issue.
You think she makes it?
I think she'll probably make it. I think this is a tease to get people to buy the annual. Like, oh, look, Lois is going to die.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it's definitely they're trying to pull an audience to see. You know, I think most people aren't expecting that she will actually turn out to be dead, but they want to see how it plays out. You know, it's
right.
The spectacle of it, the train wreck that people want to see. You know, can't seem to look away. So,
right. Are you moving papers around?
I am not.
Oh, I heard like. That's weird. All right. Anyway, sorry. I distracted myself. But yes, yeah, exactly. Like, you're not going to... If that's your big storyline for the year, killing off Lois Lane, you're not going to give a preview to news sites that shows her dead right away and say, oh, yeah, this is coming out in a couple days. Here's the big thing for the year. Like,
yeah. Well, it's not that like they previewed that a month ago. They just sort of threw that out there today, and it's coming out tomorrow.
Right.
At least when we're recording this. So it's not a huge teaser, and the way it seems like it's played out, it's probably like the first page or two of the thing.
Right.
So I don't know. It's again, it's probably a ploy. She'll probably turn out okay in the end, but it's a good way to pique some curiosity, get some people interested.
Yeah,
it's not
necessarily
going to draw me out to the comic store per se, but I'm more of a Marvel fan anyway. So,
yeah. I think we both are. That's why our news usually tends to be Marvel heavy.
Yeah, well, there's also more Marvel news to report. So
yes,
we give the news that we have.
Yes,
and DC's unusually quiet.
Yes, step up your game, DC. Come on.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? Speaking of DC, we missed... I know we didn't miss. We did talk about it. Never mind. Sorry. I was going to say we missed the Flash thing, but we did talk about that.
Yes, we did
talk
about
it. Yeah, the TV series. Yeah, so that is it. Darn it.
Yeah.
So that's everything that I had to talk about. I think one of the things... I would like to do going forward is we should start, you know, reviewing things. We don't have anything prepared for this week.
No, because none of us made it to the theater to see Wolverine.
Right, but it doesn't. But what I'm putting out there is it doesn't have to be. We don't have to review movies in the theater. We can also be reviewing.
It's not always going to be movies.
Yeah, there's plenty of direct to DVD movies that come out. That we could watch and review, and there's comic books that come out that you know we could read and review.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I believe that I was just reading earlier this week about a new DC cartoon movie that came out called I want to say it's called Flashpoint.
Yes,
that featured Flash and some interesting alterations to timelines.
Yes, it was just released yesterday, I believe, which will be. A week ago, by the time this goes up.
But yeah, we may want to watch that and see how it fares out. And it's what I understand is it's actually one of many of these DC Justice League-ish type movies that they've made with similar voice casting. So there's a number of ones there that we can take a look at and share thoughts on.
Right.
But you know, on the topic of reviews, I can give a quick 2 minutes. Because I said I did see RIPD last weekend, and technically that is a comic book movie.
All right.
It was based on a comic book series that had some popularity that I've never read, but but I have to say it's been heavily panned. If you go to Rotten Tomatoes, I think it's something like 17%.
Wow.
Approval rating. Yeah, it's not good.
Ryan Reynolds doesn't get any love.
He doesn't. And I don't think it's his fault. I think that Ryan Reynolds is... I like him. I like him as an actor, and I like his personality and his attitude. I just think that he's being improperly utilized You know, and so like, and some, you know, no matter how good you are at what you do, if the writing isn't good or if the direction isn't great, then what are you going to do? So like, you know, with the Green Lantern, I don't think Ryan Reynolds was the failure of Green Lantern. And it also wasn't Ryan Reynolds' fault that Deadpool was ruined and eviscerated as a character.
Yes, that definitely was issues of writing on that one.
Yeah, because honestly, I don't think there could have been a better person cast to play that role.
No.
Were they to keep that role at all close to what that character was supposed to be like. So that's a shame on that point. But as for RIPD, so, you know, Ryan Reynolds, you know, basic plot point, Ryan Reynolds is a cop in Boston, and he ends up in a, you know, trying to bust a you know, a drug dealer or whatever, and ends up getting taken out, you know, and killed, mm-hmm. rather, and I'll reveal a tidbit in that.
Spoilers.
He's killed by his partner. It all happens within the first 5 minutes, so I don't think it's much of a spoiler.
Okay.
And his partner's played by Kevin Bacon. So he gets taken out by his partner, but ends up being recruited by the RIPD, the Rest in Peace Division, mm-hmm. Which are sort of ghost cops, so to speak. So apparently there's an ongoing problem that people, there's this sort of purgatory transition area that people go to before they ascend the rest of the way. And unfortunately, some of them manage to get out and get to the surface world.
Like a problem.
Right. Either get out or they don't end up going up in the first place. So, you know, they sort of stick around
mm-hmm.
in spirit form on Earth. So he ends up getting teamed up, you know, signs on and teamed up with this cop played by Jeff Bridges, who...
Good. You caught yourself. Good.
Yes. Well, actually, I was distracted. My wife was writing a note saying that the movie was pure crap. the only reason she agreed to see it with me is because it was my birthday. But anyway... So Jeff Bridges being this, you know, guy who's been doing this for over a century. He was basically a sheriff from, you know, the 1800s,
mm-hmm.
And, you know, doing this job as well, but not always following all the rules and being kind of brash. And so the two of them are sort of, you know, hunting down some things. And it turns out that there's more going on than just some ghouls on the loose, you know, some deados, as they call them.
Mm-hmm.
There's like these artifacts that they seem to be turning up, these like gold fragments of something that it's unclear exactly what they are. And it turns out there's this deeper plot going on that they end up getting in the middle of and having to deal with.
See, that sounds like that could be very interesting. I don't understand why, you know, and it had Jeff Bridges and Ryan Reynolds. How could your wife not like it? Does she, you know?
Well, I'm sure she enjoyed Ryan Reynolds' part in it. I think Jeff Bridges, the thing is, he played, I think his characterization was a little too cartoony. You know, it was a little too much, you know, of the constant Foghorn Leghorn type impression that he mm-hmm. was doing throughout the movie. And I think that it was a little overdone, a little heavy-handed. And I don't know. I could see why some people weren't fans of it, you know. But I enjoyed it. I didn't have high expectations for it, honestly. I expected it to be, you know, not a strong plot. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't, but it was enjoyable. It was,
right.
You know, visually enjoyable. So, and that's all I expected out of it. So if you go in and only expect just to be visually entertained, you will not be disappointed.
Well, that's true. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, what I call popcorn flicks, where you're supposed to just go in, immerse yourself in the scenery and the story, and just eat your popcorn and enjoy it. Another one that I don't believe you saw that... I saw with our kidnapped co-host was the Lone Ranger.
Ranger.
Which another one that's getting panned by some reviewers and is getting didn't do well in the box office. Was to me it was a really good, decent Western, which we haven't had in a long time.
Yeah.
You know, a straight up Western, no aliens in it, no,
right,
no,
no steampunk
technology. No, right. Yeah. It was the, you know, the Lone Ranger on silver and Tonto. And, it was really well done. I mean, there were some, there was a couple odd things in it. I will say that, a lot of people, I think, have heard about the scene where, I do think there was probably a, different cut, and then they changed it when it was released in the theater. But apparently, the main villain in the movie kills the Lone Ranger's brother,
mm-hmm.
Which is one of the things that causes him to put on the mask and become the Lone Ranger.
Yeah.
And in the scene where he kills him, he cuts out his heart, and supposedly in the original cut, they showed him eating his heart. They refer to it later on in the movie, but they never actually show him do it. They just show him grab the knife, and then like he's standing over him, and you see people's reaction to it, but they don't actually show what's going on.
Right.
You don't really get a 100% sense from what's going on, other than he's mutilating his body in some way.
Right. He's obviously doing something that people are reviled by.
Yeah.
But otherwise, you're not sure.
Right.
And I can understand them making that editorial change, because knowing, like, my daughter was psyched to see that movie, and I haven't shown it to her yet. But she was really excited about it, and she's 9. Both my kids have seen all of the Pirates of the Caribbean movies,
mm-hmm.
and they love that kind of stuff. It's not your standard Disney fare, but Disney is involved, and they know what entertainment is, honestly.
Right.
And they know that there's entertainment value in these things that that transcends, you know, the typical ratings. Like, they make it light, they make it funny, and they make it audience, and they make a cut like that to keep it audience appropriate.
Yeah, I mean, and I would definitely recommend it for a family to go on a Saturday afternoon you know, get lost in it for 2 hours and enjoy the movie. You know, if you like the Pirates of the Caribbean and you like Westerns, you're going to like The Lone Ranger.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's no doubt about it. You know, my biggest trepidation going in was Johnny Depp as Tonto, believe it or not. I like Johnny Depp, but I thought, oh, this is a publicity stunt.
It did seem. I think that's part of the reason my daughter was interested, because she liked Johnny Depp from his roles as Jack Sparrow.
Right, but I mean, he definitely brought his A game, and it was, you know, he did a great job as Tonto.
Yeah.
I mean, again, I recommend the movie. I think people should go see it.
Yeah.
So I'm actually going to pose a question to our listeners. If you're listening to this podcast and there is something you have seen that you like, or something you haven't seen and you're not sure about it, you know, comic book related or even nerd related, and you want to hear our opinion on it, let us know. Tweet it to us or post it on our Facebook page, and we'll make an effort to watch the movie in question, and we'll do a review on it on the podcast. So we're leaving it up to you, listeners. Because, you know, we have no good ideas.
Right. Well, you know, as if we won't watch enough things on our own. We need people telling us what else to watch, too. So.
And I also want to mention, before I forget, you can also now find us on comicpodcast.com. It's a Comic Podcast Network. There's a link to it on our main page. And if you go there, you can find a whole bunch of great podcasts all related to comic books. And, we're happy to be a part of that. We have a couple of episodes that have been posted there, and going forward, our episodes will be posted simultaneously on both sites, going forward. So, And if you've found us through there, welcome to our listening audience.
Speaking of new places that we are in the world, we now also have, because we already had a Facebook page and a Twitter feed, but we also now have a Google Plus page.
That's right.
So you can find us there as well.
Yes. There's not much on there yet.
No, there's not much on there, period. So,
but, you know.
Unfortunately, it's not Facebook.
For those who are using Google Plus, you can find us there now. And, hey, you know what? I'm sorry. I should have said that, too. You can tweet it to us, post on our Facebook, or post on our Google Plus. We will be checking all those places for feedback from you. We're a little over an hour now. Ben?
Yep, I think we can stick a fork in this one.
Yeah, this one's done. for everyone listening, don't let your cape be caught in the door. Have a good week.
Hey, everyone. You just listened to an episode of Superhero Speak. This is Dave. You can reach me at dave@superheroespeak.com. Also, if you're listening to this through the website, did you know you can go to iTunes and subscribe to it? So check us out there.
And this is Ben from Superhero Speak, which you can reach at ben@superheroespeak.com. And did you know you could also follow us on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/superheroespeak.
This is John, and you can reach me at john@superheroespeak.com. And if you want, there's our Twitter account, @superheroespeak.
All right. Thanks, and check us out at those spots.